Welcome to a new episode of Crush This, a Monster Truck Podcast, presented by High Octane Coffee and J Concepts and sponsored by Bradley Shaw Designs. Go to our Spread Shop store right down here. These t-shirts are up for sale too. Same thing with the hats. Once again, if you guys go to 6B Apparel, you can get some hoodies and some crew shirts too. But once again, guys, just came back from Wichita, Kansas. And getting ready to head out to Portland, Oregon. So this is kind of a pre-recording, guys. Just give me your heads up. I am not really here. So probably on our way to Portland. So that's why Brad's not here right now. But we're going to try to get someone on next week. And we'll let you know when that comes about. So maybe another recording and whatnot. But once again, guys, thank you for being on, and thank you for watching. But we got a few people to thank. Then we'll have Eric Steinberg on, and the driver of Bigfoot, or AKA the Slime Truck. I don't know the exact name of it. Snakebite. Anyone that Bob Trent wants him to drive, he'll drive it. So we'll go from there. So here we go.
This is more than mud. This is hallowed ground where legends are born. Carnage is wrought.
The Terrell Jones Memorial Scooby-Doo Fastest of the Past returns to Sanford. April 7th and 8th, the wildest hill and hole action in the country. Unlimited DOT classes compete, along with the quickest, fastest machines of the fast track and the gnarly nitrous shootout and blown alcohol madness. Two full days, multiple classes, intense competition. The Terrell Jones Memorial Scooby-Doo Fastest of the Fast. Coming to the Lee County Mud Sports Complex in Sanford, April 7th and 8th. Typical motorsports podcast. You're listening to Crush This, a monster truck podcast presented by High Octane Coffee and J Concepts, a show where we take you inside the minds of your favorite drivers, past and present, of the monster truck industry. And now, your hosts, Brad Shaw and Dan Cheechagosh. Buckle in. The show starts now.
Pretty cool intro right there. Got everything going on there. Once again, thank you, Nick Davis. So go check out that mud race April 7th and 8th at Stafford. And be a lot of dirt slinging action right there, folks. And also MTRC. They do a lot of cool retro nostalgia monster truck, RC monster trucks over there in St. Louis. Colby does a pretty good job. So as of right now, man, how you doing, Eric? How's everything going?
Oh, I'm just living the dream, man. How are you?
Guess I'm doing living the dream too. You know, doing my thing also. How we always start off of how you got started. Were you always been a fan of monster trucks? And what was it basically getting the dip in the pool a little bit like?
So really, it all started out when I was like 3 years old. I mean, my parents took me to my first monster truck show at our local fairgrounds. Doug Nolke and Big Dog was there. Larry Swim and the Scorpion King truck. Monster Patrol was there. And so I just watched it growing up. And my birthday always fell around when they came to St. Louis. Monster Jam did. So my parents would buy me tickets for Monster Jam to come out and see. So I went there all the time. And that's where I kind of started getting an interest in them so much. I thought they were really cool. Just the big tires, loud noises. I mean, that pretty much interested a little kid in me already. So, but it wasn't until I was about 15 years old until I was like, okay, I really want to do this as a career path. I chose to go to college for high performance automotive. So studying a lot of the racing backgrounds and chassis designs and all that. And then, it was about 2020 when COVID hit, it was in December. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put my name out there to see if anybody take me. And of course, Bigfoot only being 30 minutes from home. I decided to try to go with them. They shut me down, of course, because it was COVID. Nothing was really going on. But actually later in 2021, that May, I got a call from Dan Runney asking if I wanted a job for a potential crew guy and all that. So, of course, I said yes. I wanted to get into it. So I went down there for an interview, and they pretty much said I had the job as the crew guy. So I was going out to the shows, working in the shop. But that's pretty much how I got started. It wasn't as fancy as some other people. I was just a little kid that liked them, decided to do them as I grew older. I never had a close connection to a team per se. So I had to kind of work my way into somewhere just to get my name thrown out there. So, but Bigfoot took me in, and it's been a ride ever since.
Kind of similar on my boat. When I was a little kid, my parents took me to monster truck shows. I was wanting to do it. Didn't have a dad that owned a truck. I didn't have a famous last name. I didn't have money. I didn't have my own business. Had to start from the ground up, and I went to a school like how you did. Difference is the only team that took me was Feld. Experience wise, I didn't have the experience like Bigfoot and Hall Brothers had. It was also back in 2013 when I put my application and stuff like that. So, by that time, both teams were kind of running on all eight cylinders. They had good crew guys, good drivers, you know, and everything was a steady ship. So Feld kind of took me over underneath their wing, and then I had to take basically the same thing, same route pretty much, just to get my name out. After 17, when they finally kind of released saying no crew guys are ever going to drive a monster truck again, only a select few will get a chance to do it, I kind of had to leave the ship. For me, it's kind of like that. Now I got a seat with Hall Brothers Racing, and then I got to start doing that stuff and go from there. But Kurt Kramer wanted to say hi. He said he met you in Iowa, and he said you're a cool cat, and he was surprised that you wanted to buy some Raminator merchandise.
I'm a fan of any independent team. I know back then, you know, the Hall Brothers and Bigfoot back in the Penta days and all that were kind of cutting each other's throats and racing, but to me, it's all about the independents. I mean, I'm wearing a Bad Company shirt right now, just supporting John Gordon. He's one of my favorite drivers right now. That's all it means to me, is really being able to do what I love, but yet support other teams like the independents pretty much.
So you got yourself into, I kind of in the seat of your pants into the kind of the ocean sink or swim moment, because, you know, a lot of times with like Team Bigfoot is same thing as Hall Brothers. You have to be a crew guy. You have to take some time. You know, obviously fans, you know that having a background in a technical school does help. I did it. You did it. But a key thing is a CDL. A lot of people need a CDL, not just because of monster trucks, but it's a very good card to have. If you're just done with monster trucks, if you're like, I'm burnt and I don't want to do it no more, I'll just want to drive a local gig. Well, so be it, do it. But, you became being a crew guy, you know, and stuff like that. And then, when did it start happening where they start thinking of you going, let's see if this boy wants to get behind the wheel of a truck?
Well, working throughout 2021 summer, I, of course, my mentality going into it was I will do anything, whether that's scrubbing the bathroom toilets or power washing tires at the shop, just to get a start into monster trucks. So when I first started working there, that was my mentality, was I was going to do anything I could to get a spot. I never came out about, hey, I wanted to drive. I was just the guy that wanted to do everything to know how the trucks worked, how the shop works around here and all that. So I busted my butt all summer 2021. And then I was actually going to back to school that August to finish my last year of college. So Dan Runny came up to me and goes, I want you to go back to college. I want you to have something to fall back on. You still have a job here. That's no problem. So I ended up going back in August of 2021 till December of 2021. And that's when Bigfoot approached me about driving number 21 as the race day truck in Hot Wheels. And he called me up. I had a terrible day at school. You know, other stuff wasn't working right. Traffic sucked. I mean, it was bad, but he called me at like 6 o'clock that night and was like, hey, we need a driver for Hot Wheels next year. You want to do it? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. I mean, that's a three-year-old of me coming out and saying, yeah, I want to do it. He goes, well, I want you to think about it some. So I knew right then and there after I got off the phone that I was going to do it. I just wanted to make sure that my life outside of that wasn't going to be as affected as it. So I went to school the next day and told my instructors that I have this really good opportunity to do my dream job, but I wanted to go to school and finish school at the same time because I know that's what Dan would have wanted. So they were like, Eric, honestly, whatever you need to do, we'll rearrange your schedule to do it. So I pretty much went from 8 in the morning till 11 a.m. Monday through Friday going to school. And then after school, going straight to work, working until 6 or 7, and then leaving Friday night to go out to the shows over the weekend and getting back late Sunday, early Monday morning to make it to school the next day. It was a long first quarter last year. But I had the mentality in my head of, I'm doing my dream job. This is completely worth it. I mean, I don't think anybody else my age had the opportunity to do something like that. So I was, of course, going to take it. So first show out, Knoxville, Tennessee, first weekend of January of 2022, was my first show. And I only had about an hour and a half of training and 21 out in our test field next to the shop. And they were like, all right, we're going to the first show. Got there. And I mean, it was as small as you can think. Inside the hockey arenas and inside the dasher boards and all that, I was nervous, and I know my bosses could agree to that, but I got through it, and I mean as happy as I could be to do my dream job.
So let's get a step back, because this is actually, for me, it's actually pretty, I like to ask a question for me personally. It's a personal question. When did you personally feel okay to, you know, not, did you ever come across to your thinking yourself, if I don't want to overdrive the truck, don't want to drive the truck too hard, to a point where they start yelling at you? When did you start realizing, or did someone tell you, you know, to keep it on the edge? Because a lot of your runs are that ragged edge to the point, kind of remind me of a little bit of, you know, mid-2000s Jimmy Creedon type driving. You're not too extreme, but you're giving them the air, you're giving them the kind of the really fast momentum that people like to do. So what got you the break away from, you know, that, you know, I guess worry about the breaking the truck type momentum?
Yeah. So when I first started out in Hot Wheels, of course, I was driving 21, which was pretty much Dan's truck. That was Dan Runny's baby and all that. So the new guy, not knowing how to really drive a truck yet, I was nervous about breaking the truck. I didn't want to damage it to the point where we couldn't fix it for the next show that day. So I had just, I kept it, sold them wherever the truck would perform that day, but it wasn't anything spectacular per se. So I got through the shows at Hot Wheels, and then my last show for Hot Wheels, I actually got moved to 18. And that was in Reading, Pennsylvania. My first ever show for Bigfoot Body and all that. That's where I was kind of like, okay, I probably should step it up a little bit just because it's the name Bigfoot. So that's where I kind of started to kind of rework how I drove the truck per se. I kind of worked my way up through Hot Wheels in 21, but I knew I wasn't going to stay in that truck specifically. So I learned how to drive 21. Then I got moved to 18. I had to learn how to drive 18. And then I did my first outdoor show in Berlin, New Jersey for KSR. And the first show, I took it easy just to kind of get a feel for how outdoors were going to be. And then the Saturday night show, everything seemed like it was working fine. Everything felt good. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm really going to step it up. And they just had a basic van stack out there, but it flattened out to be a perfect sky jump. And I was just like, well, if I'm going to hit it, I'm going to hit it. So that was probably the biggest jump I've ever done so far in my career. And from the truck, it didn't seem that big, but everybody took pictures and videos of it. I mean, I was pretty high up in the air just for a fair show, pretty much. So then that's kind of where I decided to make it more of a not so much ragged edge freestyle performance or how I like to drive, but something quicker, something a little more faster momentum. And I wanted to know that I want people to know that I can actually drive the truck, not so much just he was the fill-in guy for these Hot Wheels shows. So that's where I kind of decided to step it up a little bit. I only did 4 or 5 shows in 18, and then I got moved to 19, which is Darren Schnell's old truck. So when I got moved to that truck, that's where I was like, okay, it's a CRD. It's definitely different from 18 and 21, but I just decided to not so much take it easy, but I just wanted to see what the truck would do. And that show was out in Plattsburgh, New York, at the end of July, early August. And actually Dan Runny was with me out there, and he was kind of like teaching me how to drive the truck once again. But he was also just letting me drive the truck how I was going to drive it. So we went out there, and like I said, I pretty much put on the ragged edge performance that you were talking about. I still have like days where I want to save the truck just to know I'll make it to the next show, because we do 2 Saturday shows and 1 Sunday show for Hot Wheels. So I kind of have to keep in mind that I don't have to drive the truck as hard at these shows, but when I'm doing stuff outdoors, I can step it up to the other level that I've been doing. So I've seen a lot of videos of Dan back in his younger days, and I'm kind of trying to mimic what he was like back then, because I mean, I've seen it where Bigfoot's kind of, people say Bigfoot's still performing. I haven't heard of that, because everybody's seen Monster Jam, of course, on TV, and that's kind of like the next thing pretty much. But my thing is I'm trying to make Bigfoot back to that top spot pretty much.
You know, and like I said, I seen you did some events in California. Yep. Looks like a baseball diamond, like a square type deal, and it was a pretty good run. And then, like I said last week on Bailey Shea's podcast, we were in Oklahoma City for Monster Jam, and they had 2 kids in the pre-show, and one was like Gravedigger, and the other kid like Bigfoot. And the announcer hurried up and tried to change the subject, saying, any more Gravedigger fans? Any more Gravedigger fans? Everyone, all the independents were fist-pumping in the center of the pod, because it was pretty cool and stuff like that. So you're jumping around. So right now, what truck is your current truck right now? 19?
Yep, 19. Yep.
Anything? A lot of drivers I have heard or talked about 19 has never said really anything negative about the truck. A lot of people think it's probably the best all-around truck out of the fleet. If you have 18 has good pros, 21 has some pros, but if you put the two trucks together, you would have 19. So, exactly. For you, you know, you started off with a truck that was, I think was too good. 21's too good. 18 though is that, a lot of drivers been through 18, Rente, Christian Norman, Larry Swim, you know, Darren, even Rebecca, drove for a little, 18 for a bit, but it seems like, 18 has that, ragged edge type truck. And then you put 19 where you could put that in the ragged edge, but it will soak it in like 21.
Yep. So I was never able to fully experience 21. I was always cooped up in the small arenas. I never got to do any big outdoor stadiums that, or, you know, the arenas or anything like that. But, just driving it, you can tell that it's not a wheelie truck. It can freestyle, but it doesn't have that ragged edge. It just, it, like you said, it's too good. It soaks too much hits up. So 21, in my opinion, is the perfect race truck. I mean, the shock design on it is pretty much engineered for that. 18 is the sister truck, pretty much, to 21, shares the same parts, but it's got a different shock design on it and a shorter wheelbase. So that truck loves to sky wheelie. I noticed that the first time I drove it. And then in freestyle, it had that ragged edge as well. But to me personally, it was never a good race truck. I never thought that I could really go out and win the big races in it or nothing like that. But it made for a good freestyle. Going to 19, I mean, you pretty much nailed it on the head. It's the best of every world. It's a perfect wheelie truck. Racing, it's a great truck. Freestyle, it'll pretty much soak up anything you give it.
Have you tried the older generation truck, like 14, 15 yet? Have you driven those
yet? I haven't yet. I'm sure there's going to be a day where I'll have to fill in for someone. But
Why don't you fill in and drive eight? Just ask Dan the race eight just at one fair.
I will love to do that. The nostalgic on it is awesome.
How do you feel about the nostalgia stuff? Like, you know, down the road from you is Gateway Mustangs, and they're rebuilding number four. A lot of the veteran Bigfoot guys like Lonnie, Jason, John Pyatt, Gene Patterson, a lot of guys, Jim Kramer, they're bringing back that old girl. So, you know, you have you as the kind of the future of Bigfoot, but, you know, how cool is it to have still the nostalgia? You can see that over there in my corner. There's Andy Brass in Bigfoot 3. He was crushing cars, I think, in California. You know, I'm a nostalgia guy. I get more excited over the old school stuff than I do new school. I'm gonna be honest with you, Eric. I just really don't care a lot of times about the Monster Jam and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, yes, it's our current product, so I have to fill it in, but, you know, nothing beats a 1988 Chevy pickup truck or a 1987 Ford that's Bigfoot and hitting a 7-car stack of LTDs and Caprice and Delta 88s and just watching them go flattening out, or, you know, different trucks when, you know, I mean, at one point in time, you had the Bigfoot chassis, you have a Patrick, you had a woman, you had Fred's, you know, Dennis had his, and there were so many different trucks and different ideas, and you throw in a little bit of a steel body in there, and then, you know, different shock packages, different, you know, everything was just different, front engine, rear engine, you know, middle engine, a guy standing up, a helicopter. I don't know. Back then, it was just, to me, it was crazy. But
yeah,
I veered off from the thing. But how do you like, you know, enjoy the nostalgia and the history that Bigfoot and that area brings to the table?
You know, I haven't really been around the whole Bigfoot 4 or 3 project, but just to know that it was out there and they're bringing it back is incredible, because that like is a piece of history. For me, when I first started working at Bigfoot, the first project I did was help finish number 8 to bring it back. I was helping them put the blower back on it, getting everything else, all the lines back on it. And then being able to hear it fire up for the first time after sitting for I don't know how many years in their storage. It was cool because I'd never got to see number 8 on tires or nothing like that. Matter of fact, I've actually never seen a Bigfoot compete before I got to Bigfoot. I never really? Was able to see Big. Yep, never got to see Bigfoot. It was never really around the area of where I was from. So that was a little different, but being able to see number 8 get put on the full cleat tires and all that, and just standing there and looking up, and I'm like, holy crap, this thing is huge compared to all these new trucks. I mean, it sat really tall. Being a front engine truck, it had the rake on it too. And then once they brought it out of the shop and saw it driving around in the field, it was monumental to me, because I didn't think I was ever going to be able to see something like number 8 drive around like that, even if it was in a field. But I was actually able to drive number 8, and that was cool too. We did a local car show and all that, so it wasn't like a car crush or nothing spectacular or anything, but just being able to be in the seat of the truck that helped pioneer the sport was incredible. I enjoyed it.
You know, and let's talk about this. So we talked about nostalgia now, but the crew that you guys have is a young group of guys now. You have a young group. Now saying Darren and Rebecca are the veterans, when Darren was the young guy, when Larry and, you know, Dan and, you know, oh my gosh, and so many, Kyle Doyle, you know, all these guys that were driving Bigfoot, Rick Long, those guys have been doing it for quite some time. Now we go full circle. COVID pretty much made everyone's slate clean. And then, you know, you have, like I said, Rebecca and Darren as the veterans. You know, Christian leaves, retires, pops his head once in a while. He can't make up his mind anyway. So, me and Christian went back with Monster Jam, so he was my roommate at one time, so I can bust his bust himself a little bit. You know, Larry leaves, Larry retires. So 21's always been that open door. You know, Rodney goes and he jumps in the driving USA one. But then you got to pick up you, Bubba, Buddha. Sorry, Buddha. Don't kill me, Mike. Buddha. You get, you know, new guys like Chris Gilbert, or I can pronounce it. He races RCs a little bit, but he's working that. And then the guy who's driving Bigfoot for you right now. Man, for being a young group and having that, not nostalgia, but the history of Bigfoot, it's the top tier. It's a top tier truck. It's still a top tier truck. Almost 45 plus 50 years, it's still in the level of Gravedigger, even though Gravedigger has $1 billion backing from, you know, a company in Florida. It's still for what you guys have done for those many years, you guys are still kicking it. I can say that for myself too, with Hall Brothers. I mean, we're still kicking them. We're also a top tier truck team. And it's, you know, we have a young group of guys too. I mean, Curtis Kramer is pretty much the last of the generation previously, with, you know, that was with Matt Dishman and Mike Miller and Jeremy Dishman and, you know, all those guys. Those guys have set sail. So we have new people like me, and, you know, and then we have, you know, a couple other kids that just graduated from UNOH in Parkland that is now helping us out. So we got a young group. But once again, I'm drifting off to the top subject itself. You know, having Dan Runte as your guys' boss pretty much outside of, you know, the rest of the group, you know, does it have does the group have a lot of energy? You know, it just like a new, you know, you have all these new guys and a big energy and a big, pretty much you guys have a huge future as long as you guys stick together and, you know, people don't drop off like flies. You know, my thing is I'm, you know, how's the excitement over there with Team Bigfoot having all these new kids? I guess we could have to say kids, all these new crew members and stuff like that. Young faces, young blood, representing a team that's started the shindig since 1973.
Yeah, it's different. And I can say that for Dan. Dan was more of not just the boss, but he was a mentor for me. And just like Cody, the new driver for Bigfoot, he's the mentor for him. But he's also like a father figure around the shop just because of all these young guys around the shop. He's not just the boss, but he's the father figure you can go talk to about something else. So it's a nice place to have a start, but also build your career in it as well. So for someone like me, I didn't know a whole lot about monster trucks. I didn't know the mechanics of them. I just wanted to get a start into it. And Dan pretty much took me in and trained me, and he's still training me to this day. I'm still learning, just like all these other guys too. But being a younger group of Bigfoot members, we have a lot of ideas and potential pretty much Bigfoot decisions to make. But I think everybody wants to do something a little bit different. You know, of course, everybody nowadays are doing the whole backflips, moonwalks, and all that stuff. So now you can't really do that anymore because it's so repetitive already. So we're trying to come up with new ideas and see where we can lead that into. Because Bigfoot, of course, everybody knows is the original. It's the old school truck. It's not so much the one to go out and do the backflips or the moonwalks or anything like that, but there's something else we can do, and that's what we're trying to create pretty much. So these younger guys, including myself, are pretty much the newer generation of Bigfoot members. So we have a lot to offer pretty much. There's a lot of potential there. There's still potential for everybody else. And we're just seeing where that can lead us in the future.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat also. You know, they're, you know, from, you know, like you said, Bigfoot's kind of that old school type of deal. And same thing with Hall Brothers with Raminator, because they all kind of came from the same tree. You know, if Bigfoot was hosting a show, guess who was going to be there? Executioner. You know, if Paul Schaefer was running a show with, you know, Moss Patrol and Barefoot, Bigfoot and my Executioner were going to be there. You know, it's all part of that, you know, because we're both members of the MTRA. And, you know, that's pretty much that's trying to blossom and go up, you know. And my boss and your boss, well, the higher up boss, Bob Chandler himself, are really good friends, too. So, you know, that still have that old school vibe into it, but I mean, you're doing Hot Wheels, and you know we're doing our best to hold the fort in the Monster Jam side of it, you know. And we're trying to do the same thing, you know. We see ideas, and it seems like the power of relevancy always helps out. If you could prove to the average fan that the truck's still around and still doing stuff, then you have a fan. You know, I don't like it doing dealership displays and. They say, hey, you do Monster Jam? Oh, yeah, we do Monster Jam. Whatever happened to Bigfoot?
Yeah. You know,
like, it's still around. It's still kicking. He still does stuff. You know, he goes and I even have to tell the crazy thing is we did a display in Texas, Dallas, Texas. I think it was around October, late September, early October. And I think around that range, late October, early November, you guys go to Fort Worth at the Dickey Center Hot Wheels Live. And I tell the fans, because during that weekend, our display, Monster Jam gets done doing their show in Arlington. at the Cowboys AT&T Stadium. So they're all big and everything like that with monster trucks and wanting to know with that. And I get a lot of people, you know, knowing, hey, you know, does this truck do Monster Jam? I was like, yeah, because we do the smaller arenas. We were in the central area. I mean, we have to let people know that we did like Austin, Texas and stuff like that. But I come around and we give them information saying, hey, in the next couple weeks, you know, you're curious about where Bigfoot's going to be at. They're going to be at the Dickies Arena that, you know, next couple weeks for in Fort Worth for the Hot Wheels tour. And people are like, oh, really? And they get on their phones. They get on the phones as soon as they can. And they're like, holy cow, they are going to be there. And they order their tickets, right? I got like 20 people. I don't know what shows they went to, what days, but they went to the Hot Wheels Live. They ordered their tickets right then and there, and they showed me the confirmation. Like, I really needed to know. I'm not going to be there. Yeah. But still, you know, having them know about it. But I still feel that it's a little bit of a wall. And exactly for you driving the Bigfoot truck, I don't know if you can sense that there is still a wall of people think that, you know, the truck is no more, or what's going on with you guys. When you guys do Firestone dealerships and stuff like that. Is that still a common question? Is that still a common occurrence that, you know, people are so oblivious to know that the truck is still around?
Oh yeah. I mean, I get questions like that all the time, even outside the Firestone displays. I mean, every time I did a fair show last year in the summer, it seemed like everybody came up and goes, hey, is that, you know, the original Bigfoot? Yeah, it's one of them. Oh, I thought, you know, they quit racing and all that. I'm like, no, we just kind of been on the back burner a little bit. You know, we didn't get the TV like Monster Jam does. So, of course, the newer generation of kids love to see destruction. So, of course, they want to go watch Monster Jam. But for us, that's a common question. It's always, you guys still perform? I didn't think you did. You know, where have you guys been? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of where we're at, is we do a lot more Hot Wheels shows now. During summer, we might do a few fair shows, but that's kind of our big thing right now is Hot Wheels. And of course, we have two trucks here in the States, 19 and 15. And then overseas in Europe, we have 18 and 21. With Darren and Rebecca driving over there. So, and I'm sure they get questions too over there of even, oh, I didn't realize Bigfoot was still around, you know, this is cool. But we always get the father figures coming up saying, hey man, that truck was around when I was, you know, that little kid's age, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of 50-50. There's some people that know that Bigfoot's still around, and they know that we do a lot more quieter shows, I guess, per se. Nothing too crazy, but then there's the majority of them that are, you know, always asking if we're out of the game or something like that. But that's where my motivation is, to bring Bigfoot back into one of the number one spots, you know, just to prove that we're still here, we're still doing our thing, and Bigfoot's still as good as it could ever be.
I mean, the Hot Wheels tour has to be helping your guys' product out big time. You know, Hot Wheels is the number one toy brand for boys. Now it's starting up become popular with girls and stuff like that. But with having Bigfoot with Hot Wheels in general, and your guys are going to do platforms in big, now starting pretty soon, arena size, you know, decent size arenas. I mean, back in the day, I think, like, if maybe not back in the day, maybe 7-8 years ago, the only truck that really out of the Bigfoot fleet that you would see doing those size arenas was probably whatever Dan Rente or Larry Swim's driving for Toughest. And that's if Toughest got themselves one of those arenas that, you know, Monster Jam just bailed out on. But, you know, you're doing big events like in Albany and Norfolk, Virginia. You know, Fort Worth, you know, obviously you're going, you know, in this interview this weekend, you're going to somewhere in Texas, but still the branding of the Hot Wheels with Bigfoot helping you guys out, have you heard with that helping you guys out? Have you seen an increase of people recognizing the truck more often?
Yeah, it definitely helps. Of course, like you said, the name Hot Wheels and Bigfoot doing a collaboration together, it definitely brings in the older fans, but also the newer group or newer generation of little kids and fans as well. You know, Hot Wheels is the show for the 3 to 10 age group. So we go out there and pretty much do what I would consider the old school car crushing. I mean, it's on concrete floor. There's 2 race lanes with 5 cars each and a van stack. And we'll do pretty much the basics of what monster trucks are. So in a way, it's old school monster trucks, but for the newer generation of kids. So when we go out there in Bigfoot and the kids see us doing all these crazy to them hits, then it definitely helps us boost our image, I guess you can say, within the younger generation. I still don't think that it's going to be as great as it was back in like the late 90s, maybe earlier, but Hot Wheels is still slowly making their way up to being that potential competitor to some of these other shows like Toughest or like Monster Jam, pretty much.
You know, and also you're representing their brand too, because not just driving Bigfoot, you're driving the Gungster or Race Ace or something of that nature, which is a Hot Wheels themed truck. So, I mean, and then they're really pushing you this year because of this glow in the dark light show and stuff like that, that, you know, the Gungster truck is kind of focused on with the neon lights and then the black light reflection green and stuff like that. So outside of that, I mean, you're kind of having, you know, having kind of a not an identity crisis, but you're having 2 different identities. I mean, obviously the older kids will understand that you're driving a Bigfoot truck, but some of the younger kids know that you're driving a different identity. You know, that being kind of like this year's flagship truck, because last year was the dinosaur one, you know, and you know, it keeps, seems like every year they seem like they had a theme. Like the first year they were really pushing Christian and Hot Wheels Racer 1, and then, you know, Rebecca and Bigfoot, and then, you know, the dinosaur and stuff like that. And then you have your, you know, other trucks like Demo Derby and Skull Crusher, and, you know, or I don't know if that's Skull Crusher or whatever, but the Tiger Shark type truck. I mean, all they have all themes, but you could tell they, through the commercials and stuff like that, they push a product just a little bit ahead of them. And this year, definitely they're pushing your truck with the neon lights and stuff like that. So, you know, like you said, you're taking it show by show and just doing the performance and stuff like that. But does it mess with your noggin a little bit doing these black lights and neon lights and stuff like that? And you know, the glow party?
You know, I would say it's harder, but it really isn't. You still drive the truck accordingly. Whether that was in lights or black lighting with the fog and all the lasers shooting around the lights and all that. But honestly, it doesn't make a difference to me. I mean, I'll still go out there and make the hits just like I would in a normal show. And so as everybody else. I mean, Cody, our new guy, he's learning in this type of environment where it's dark. You can't really see. So for him to go from the glow party to something outdoors is going to be a huge stepping stone for him, because it's so much clearer, so much more relaxed. But back to the whole glow party, it's, you know, something different than what monster truck associations have done in the past. I mean, I guess it's Beckley that's doing the new glow party show or whatever they're calling it too. But when we first brought it out in Hoffman Estates of last year, and that's where I debuted the new Gungster truck, it was nice because it was something different. It wasn't the same repetitive show we've been doing for the past 17 weeks pretty much. So being able to do something like this where it's something different and something geared more towards the younger audience that Hot Wheels is aiming for is incredible. I mean, they do a really good job at controlling the lights and the lasers and the fog to make sure it's not out and messing with us, the drivers, too much. So it was something different to learn, but at the same time, it was fun experiencing.
Nice, nice, nice. You know, and you're getting ready to do when do you actually – do you know when your first non-Hot Wheels event is?
So far, no. They don't really have the schedule yet booked out for the end of May. So we go pretty much till mid-May for Hot Wheels. I know they got some guys running for us for a few fair shows, but I'm sure they'll have us do a couple outside of that as well.
Gotcha, gotcha. I know you you guys do West Plains and all that stuff. And you know, a lot of fans want you guys to have at least one truck back at the Toughest Tour. You know,
that was my favorite show out of all of I did last year, was definitely the Toughest show, just because I knew I was young and I didn't have much experience with all these other guys, but I still wanted to go out there and prove myself that I could compete with those guys. I mean, yeah, I wasn't going to go out there and tear a truck trying to win, but if I can go out there and make a good enough performance that the people still remember the Bigfoot name, that's all it meant to me. So going out there, and then my first big outdoor racing debut, I won in the finals against Tim Jones and Tailgater that night with my family, with my instructors that helped me get to this place I'm at in Monster Trucks. So that was a huge stepping stone for me. And that's where I felt like I really proved myself to some of these other guys, some of these other drivers and teams, that I am capable of driving it. But not only am I capable of it, but the team Bigfoot, being as young of crew guys, can still do it as well.
That's pretty cool. Can anyone follow you on social media?
I actually don't really do much social media, but I'm going to try to start doing some here very soon. Right now, mine is actually on Instagram at ThatRookieMTGuy. Something a little different. I try to have fun on social media a little bit. Try to keep it closer to the fans and stuff like that, but we'll see where it goes.
Awesome, man. And then on Facebook, too, and follow you there, too. Like I said, for me, I have my Instagram tag right there, MT_DanAgosh28. You follow me also on my RC stuff. And you know, Hall Brothers driving the second Raminator truck, and just keep us looking out. But with this episode, I'm heading to Portland, Oregon for the Monster Jam out west. I know right now we're doing this recording, you're in Texas. Where would you be at the following week?
I'll be in I believe Rockford, Illinois.
Okay, all right, so it's a lot of from Peoria down back.
Lots of travel.
All you Illinois fans, go hit up Rockford. I think they will be at the BMC Arena or something like that. It's a bank. So. Yep. Was once a Monster Jam stop. If you guys, I know a little history here. If you guys type in Monster Jam there at that arena in 2015 and type in Charlie Paulkin, there was a very interesting situation that happened there. Involved Gravedigger, Monster Mutt, and a doghouse. So if people may not know, it's the wheelie that he did that caught the wheelie bar, and it kind of slid until it hit the pit, and then he destroyed one. They had a thing at the pit party, like a little doghouse that played a CD and it sounded like a dog, bark, 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 and stuff. Well, he fit the truck right between Wattweiler and Dalmatian, but slammed into the dog barking box. So rest in peace to that thing. But that's pretty interesting there. For always a little side note, but good luck this weekend. Have fun. Try to get that Titan Cup, get some t-shirt sales. You know how it is. Kiss babies and shake hands. So, but once again, Eric, thank you for being on, and hopefully see you this summer.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And congratulations on the driving for Raminator, too. That's awesome that you got to do that.
Yes, thank you. First show for me for that one. I'll release it. I believe it's going to be for Linda Beckley in Enid, Oklahoma in April. So gotcha. Get my first taste beyond the racing wheel of it. But I'll be doing quite a few dealerships and car crushes. I got assigned to the second truck, which is number 9. So we got 3 drivers behind the wheel, and I'm stoked because I just put brand new freaking headlights on the Peterbilt 387. So I can see at night, and I'm more ecstatic about that than anything else. Right. People may not understand. Sometimes when you don't have good lights on your semi, it's scary.
Oh yeah, it's rough. It's rough. We had some older equipment ourselves, and we just got a brand new 2017 to us Western Star, and it's got the LED lights, and I was so happy that I got that truck. It made me so much happier to know that I can actually see driving at nighttime now.
I think the most butthole parking moment I ever dealt with is not even jumping in cars or anything like that, is when you can't see, you have a really bad truck with bad lights, and you have to go through a construction zone, and then the construction zone has that, you know, that goes that wave, and then they put concrete barrier, and you're trying to hold on, you're white knuckling it because you know, and people are getting pissed off because they're taking both lanes. I'm like, I don't care, I'm trying to see where I'm going. And the next thing I want to do is make a phone call to the boss to say, what's the scrape on this trailer for? You know, I mean, screw that. So I was so excited today when I took a picture of it. I was like, and I was so excited. I got some new light bulbs and stuff like that. I'll send you pictures. They look pretty good. The nice little LEDs on the 389s. I was so excited. What rig are you driving right now?
It's the 2017 Western Star with a Detroit DD15 and a 13 speed.
Ours is a Cummins, you know, the new engine that they have. But yeah, I just sent that to you. Brand new.
Oh yeah.
They look good. But yeah, man, once again, thank you for being on, and hopefully, actually my last final question before I let you go is, what, when you were at school for automotive and stuff like that, what that they taught you that really helped you out in the monster truck world? We have people watching all the time and they want to have a chance, and we're two people right here that perfectly tell the average person, if they want to be in it, they could do it. So what initiative, if someone wants to go to an automotive school, what can they help them pursue in the monster truck world?
Yeah, for me, actually, they had a CDL program there. So when I first turned 18, I automatically went straight into getting my CDL. First thing I did. So I knew I had that going for me. And then when I actually went for the high performance program, I studied a lot more into engine performance and the chassis related classes to that, because I knew that's probably what I was going to be focusing a lot more on, was the suspension, the steering, chassis designs, and also the mechanical fuel injection, pretty much, because all of our trucks are still mechanical fuel injected compared to some of the other teams. But I pretty much based it around what Bigfoot was running. And then pretty much decided that these are the classes I need to focus more in compared to others.
Gotcha. Yeah. For me, it was always, I don't know what truck I was going to be on. I always tell people, best thing to first learn out before you do anything is learn yourself a toolbox. Yep. You know, a lot of people outside of, you know, washing tires and stuff like that, knowing a 9/16, knowing an inch and an eighth, knowing, a half inch impact gun compared to a 3/8 impact gun, knowing the difference between a flathead screwdriver and a scraper. There's a lot of stuff that people need to learn. And I always tell people the first thing you need to know, I think the very important thing is to learn the toolbox. Learn and talk to everyone that commonly breaks. So then when you're in a thrash zone and you need to get something, you know for a fact what to get and then bring it to them. I mean, you cut half the time if you know for a fact that it ins and outs of your trailer, ins and outs of your toolbox. You may not know how to fix it quite yet, but if you can get the guy that knows how to fix it, all the equipment that he needs then and now, you're saving time.
Yep, and it's definitely, you need to have the mechanical background per se. You don't have to have every knowledge of it, but you need to be able to at least know how to work a wrench or some sort of tool. For me, common it was hard. Sense. Yeah, no kidding. there's some people that struggle with that these days, but for me, the hardest thing was whenever they would put me in a new truck or a new trailer, I ended up getting sick. I had COVID the week that they stuck 19 in the new trailer for me. So I didn't get to see how that trailer got put together, where everything went. So going into my first show, I was lost because I couldn't find anything and I didn't know where it was. So like you had said, it's definitely something where you need to know where everything's at, how everything works, and have that mechanical background and common sense to actually do something within the industry.
Mm-hmm. Man, I was about to part ways with you like 15 minutes ago when we made this an hour episode. So once again, follow him on Instagram. See him at a Monster Hot Wheels. What's that? Monster Jam. Holy shit. follow him at the Hot Wheels Monster Truck Live. Go check out their Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I think they have everything covered. YouTube. Go follow that. The Gunkster, that's what he drives. He also drives Bigfoot, like I said, during the fairs and, Firestone dealers and stuff like that. But go take a look at a Hot Wheels Monster Truck Live show. Like we said, it's a little bit more kid leaning towards, but sometimes it's good to sit back and just watch what they do. I mean, it's still kind of, it's the last of the breed of the Thunder Nationals and Monster National type deal. I mean, everyone, if you have a good day, everyone wins a Titan Cup. There's not really a huge champion, it's just whoever wins that day. So, yeah. Still, it's a good time to watch some high-flying, car-crushing action and some donut spinning and all that stuff. So, once again, Eric, thank you so much. Like I said, for this weekend, he'll be at Rockford, Illinois. So, and I'll be in Portland, Oregon. And Brad will be somewhere in Canada. So, once again, go take a look at his stuff. He's about to bring out a competition, I guess, kind of American Idol, puts in Canadian, and hopefully he gets into it and wins. But also his Bradley Shaw Designs, go take a look at his stuff. He just debuted the Who's Your Daddy truck. That's him right there. That's his stuff right there. So go ahead and take a look at that. So Bradley Shaw Designs and also High Octane Coffee. And J Concepts. Like I said, next week our episode sponsored by Hall Brothers Racing, and we'll let you know who will be on that week. But once again, like Brad always says, keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Peace.